It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We are live in lovely Rockville, Tennessee, just outside of Murfreesboro at Champions Run Golf Course for a little golf tournament for the Blue Raiders of MTSU today, their NIL collective. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. What's up?
What's happening, man? Yeah, it's called the Raiders Rising. You go to the website, RaidersRising.com, benefiting MTSU student athletes. All goes to the NIL collective. And this is kind of what a lot of schools are going to be doing now, have functions like this. You know, MTSU had the songwriter night about 2 months ago to raise money. So whatever you can do, man, to benefit the young men and women of your collegiate programs, and everybody's doing it. So we're honored to be part of this today with our relationship with MTSU and our good friend Coach Derek Mason. Join us at 9:15. The Raiders have their spring game on Saturday, but it's more like we've talked about before, enjoyable one-on-one drills, seven-on-seven drills, things like that. So it's not actually a game, but it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where spring games are going. Vanderbilt has theirs coming up Saturday as well, excuse me.
Okay.
I'm good. They have theirs coming up Saturday as well, which will air. So, I mean, you know, they're still doing these things, but they've evolved certainly over the years. But I look forward to talking to Coach Mason from MTSU, and then Nick Vadiato going to join us as well.
Yeah. Right.
You know what's cool? Like, I was thinking about this on the drive here. It was a long drive here, so I had a lot of time.
Right. it was terrible.
I was thinking about, and I say this in a respectful way.
Right.
But you look at somebody like Nick Vadiato and kind of where college athletics are, and the question is, you know, what has motivated him to stay at MTSU? I think it's admirable. I love that,
right,
that he has. But he could have very easily done like so many other student athletes and transferred out. But he has stuck with this now in the second year with Derek Mason.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of – last year was a rough season. He'd be the first to admit it. But you know what? That's what the portal is about now, is going out and getting new players and improving your team. And the our stream on my computer is stuck with you staring at me. So, God, it's really creepy. I totally agree with that, because they have guys that have gone on. Like, they had a receiver last year, Amari Kelly. Now he's at Michigan State playing. So it is the new world of college football, and so you go with what you got. But spring ball, look, when I played, our spring game was at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I hated spring practice, but had a coach in. I'll talk to Coach Mason about this, is that guys, you really determine how much guys like football by spring practice, because there's no benefit. There's no game waiting for you. There's no playing the other opponent. You're hitting the same guy over and over again. So you really determine how much you like playing college football and being around these guys. You get that in spring. And so we'll be good to talk to the coach in a little bit.
So we're going to have Darby Hendrickson join us.
Darby.
We got a lot of guests today. It's very loaded. So, he'll join us, Predators assistant coach, in just a few minutes. I doubt you watched this last night, but I went down a rabbit hole, and – I was entertained, but I was also like, what am I watching? So Pat McAfee did a show last night called Pat McAfee's Big Night Out, but he says at, like, the Yinzer accent. He sold out PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Like, literally sold it out. It was packed. They had over 12,000 people in that arena. And had all these, you know, celebrities and stuff show up. Ben Roethlisberger showed up. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang showed up. Paul Skeens was there. I mean, they were throwing a football through a ring and stuff. And so I bring it up because, like, it was awesome. But it was kind of like this show. There was no plan. Just kind of went with it.
I like that.
It was something to be able to see. So
is this something he does every city?
No, like, this was something new. This was a new concept. It was streamed on YouTube and Twitter.
So he could go to Kansas City and bring out Kelce and Mahomes,
yeah,
and whomever.
But
so the Royals.
I looked on Twitter. He had over 100,000 people watching. Like,
good. He should. I mean, he's branded everywhere. He should have all that. Good for him.
What I think is cool, he's a punter, and he has just become this megastar.
Much more than that. And that, I mean, he's got personality and took it to the next level, so good for him.
The Predators are back in action tonight in Salt Lake City for the first time in their history, taking on the Utah Hockey Club. Let's bring in assistant coach Darby Hendrickson, who is on the line with us. And I got to start with this. How is Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake is great. By the way, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're great. Thanks so much for doing this, Darby. We always enjoy our conversations with you. I mean, first trip out there for the Predators as Utah has joined the National Hockey League. I guess, is it a little bit of unexpected because you don't know what the crowd's going to be like?
Definitely. We haven't even been to the building yet. We flew in yesterday. Downtown, very nice. I mean, it's got kind of a Denver feel. You know, you have the mountains, and, you know, I know the people here, you know, like Arizona, obviously disappointed they lose their team, but you can just sense and feel around the city here. We went out for dinner, people, hockey. You see that the Utah hockey signs are on. There's definitely a buzz. It's their first year, but it's just, time will tell with everything and how they get a new building or how they expand or the plans they have. But we're excited to be here, and Salt Lake is a neat city.
Is there, you know, I've had players tell me.
Welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. It's the reporter, Nick Kieser, here with you this morning, filling in for Chase and Big Joe while they get things figured out down that way, down yonder in Rockvale. We'll be back with them here shortly. But in the meantime, we got Nashville Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson on the line with us. Darby, sorry about the little gaffe there, man, but how you guys doing out there in Utah?
No, we're good. All good. We got in here last night. Looking forward to playing here. Obviously, our first trip to Utah, but just Salt Lake, beautiful city. And, we know they'll play hard, and we're going to play hard tonight, too. So we're excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Darby, let's start things off here because I know that Andrew Burnett's going to be back with you guys. But more importantly as well, he's back and in good spirits. But what's it been like to be on the bench without him? I know that we've kind of caught up with Todd Richards over the last few days, and he's talked about how you guys have been in the same spot. But what's it been like coaching the last week or so?
Different. We want Bruno back. There's a part of that time when your head coach leaves. There's a part where you fill in. I mean, that's part of it. We all get it. But we love when he's there. He's got a lot of energy. And I know, on a personal level for him, he had to step away. And it's one of those things with a family situation with health that he had to be there. And we all respect that because we love his family. We miss him. But we do our best when he's gone. But we know we're better when he's there, and we're glad he's back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Glad that everything's okay. The Preds had a statement out this morning. So, yeah, definitely a positive development as you guys wrap up the season here out there in Utah and then come home for two more. But, Darby, I want to ask you more about Matthew Wood. Obviously, comes out of college and didn't advance in the NCAA Frozen Four because that kicks off later this evening, I believe. So, but what have you been your first overall impressions of a guy like that? Big stature, lots of confidence on him, just playing in his game. But what have you made of him?
Yeah, exciting for his future. He's first off, just as a human being, really just a great kid. Secondly, I did watch their game when they lost because my son played on the same team with him in college this year in Minnesota.
Ah, yes.
That's how old I'm getting. But, I was able to watch quite a few of their games this year and watch Matthew, and he has a ton of talent. A lot of these kids come in, they're young, they're 20, they're excited. It's fresh for them. For the last part of this year, just for him to be around some guys like Steven Stamkos and Forsberg and, you name it, pretty special for him. But he's a young guy that is, you can tell is hungry. I think that's the biggest thing you see behind the scenes. And he'll get a few games here to play, but it's just great hands, good talent, sees the ice really well. And I think the thing from our perspective as coaches, you don't want to give him too much info. I mean, we have systems of how we play, and certainly we want him to be on page with that. But you want him to play. You want him to not overthink it. You want his natural skill to come out. And I think in two games, you've seen little flashes of that happening. So it's been fun to be with him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a Nanaimo guy. He's the fifth guy from his hometown. I was chatting with him just the other day, and he's like, wow, I didn't even realize that. But Yeah, he's come a long way, and was the first pick in 2023. Darby, I kind of want to change gears. I know it's more of a somber note here, but obviously we saw the news yesterday with Ray Shiro, longtime NHL executive, guy that was in the game for a long time, even here in Nashville. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on how much he meant to the game, but more importantly, I know that over the course of his three decades doing a lot of work, made some blockbuster deals, had some exciting comments over the years as well. Just kind of wanted to get your gauge on what he meant to the NHL.
And was fortunate to know Ray, and he was obviously, I came from Minnesota, he was an advisor there to Bill Guerin, so over the last couple of years got to know him, and I think if you ask anyone, everyone loved Ray. Just an infectious personality, positively, obviously had a lot of success in the game, winning a cup with Pittsburgh, being a GM in New Jersey, you know, having his the early years with the Nashville Predators have an impact there. I walked into the airport yesterday and I saw Barry Trotz, and he asked me if I heard the news, and I said no. I know it's very private matter with his health, but it's shocking because he's a person that you just want to see one more time, and I would probably echo so many people that even worked with him longer and knew him longer. But in the period of time I was with him in Minnesota, you love the guy, and it's very sad. He's only 62. Hockey lost a huge piece and a person that's had a huge impact, not only in the game with wins and losses, but on people. And just an awesome person, Ray, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a sad note there. But Darby, one last thought here for you real quick before we cut you loose before the action tonight at the Delta Center. Just what do you want to see from your team tonight? Not very many road games left, obviously. Not very many games in general. But just give me your quick thoughts on how you guys want to approach a younger team this evening.
Number one, just effort. I think that's something, we have Andrew Burnett back with us. That's something he preaches every day, just our effort. That is something we can control. There's been different challenges throughout the year for us. It's effort. I think for us last game, we had some, adversity. We were able to come back late in a game, tie it, win in overtime, so that offensive part for us is a huge part. Just offensive, playing free, being dialed in our system, but, play free, attack, go after them. I think those are kind of the keys that we'll have tonight. There's obviously going to be, certain pre-scout things on the opponent, but like those generals right there, work, compete, effort, and get to the net, attack. So that's the mindset we'll have coming in tonight.
Well, Darby, thank you so much for taking time before you guys play this evening against the Utah Hockey Club. Stay tuned for that here tonight. But Darby, best luck this evening, and we'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All righty. Thank you. And Darby Hendrickson definitely had a lot to say there. We're talking about Ray Shiro, the Preds as of late. But we're going to change gears and shift over to the gridiron with Derek Mason coming up here in just a moment. Chase and Big Joe are back down in Rockville, ready to rock. All right, fellas, we'll be back after the break here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Thursday. We're live in Rockville, Tennessee, Champions Run Golf Course. The Blue Raiders having a little golf tournament today to help with NIL, and we're excited to have Coach Derek Mason on with us. Coach, what's up?
What's going on, Chase, Big Joe? It's good to see you guys.
How's spring practice going?
Man, loving every bit of it. Second time around, it's been really good. It's been competitive. We're starting to hit stride a little bit as a football team. And when I say hit stride, just energy, yeah. Guys understanding each other, guys understanding me, right?
Right.
When you have a veteran quarterback like Nick Vadiato, he sort of makes it easy. But I think what's happened is that standards, expectations, and really how we work. I haven't had to say a lot to this group about where we were and where we want to go. I did something for them, as we came back this year, and I said, hey, look, I showed them a picture of the conference USA championship. I showed them a trophy, the trophy picture, and I said, this will be the last time you see this until you get a chance to waste it.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that, like, this group has worked that way. Don't know what – lies in front of us, but we know every day we can win days and get better that way. And I think that's what this group has done. They've taken 13 practices so far and made the most of them. We got two more left, and then those guys know we don't get a chance to put on pads for a while. And I think that's sort of been been different about this group is that this group is taking every day of every practice to sort of move us forward. And I'm having fun with that because when you see the competitiveness of what these guys have brought this spring, it's been just fun to watch. And I think on Saturday when people get a chance to come to the showcase, they'll just get a small glimpse of where we're at.
We were talking before you came on that as we're here for NIL, event and all that in the transfer portal, it obviously has to change how you look at things, and your roster's going to change maybe more year to year than it would in previous years. So how important is it to have these spring practices, like you said, to get these new guys acclimated to how things work here at Middle Tennessee?
You know what? The landscape has been ever-changing, right? Since last 24 months has been incredible in college football. When we talk about the transfer portal, when we talk about how recruiting looks, I think the things that have been different for us is that adjusting to the turnover, okay, man, has to become like the new norm.
Yeah.
Okay, man, you're going to have graduates. You're going to have guys, man, that get opportunities because we're a developmental program, like Amari. Okay, yeah. I mean, you look at Amari and his opportunity. Man, we had a kicker a year ago who I thought was as good as anybody in the country who lands at LSU of all places. Like, those are the new norms of college football. But what it gives you a chance to do with having NIL is to replace those guys because guys want the opportunity to get that production. That production gives them an opportunity to earn or get noticed. And so for me, it's just been – like, okay, how do we get better in this space? And I tell you what's been really cool, spending time with Rick Enzel, okay, man, and Nick McDevitt. Okay, basketball's a totally different animal.
Yeah.
But I think we're sort of settling on, you know, some processes that look the same for all of us in terms of ushering in new players, okay, acquiring new talent, and making sure that the culture still stays what the culture needs to be in order for Middle Tennessee to be successful. And I think – that's where we are now with the new landscape of college football for us.
Well said. We're with MTSUA football coach Derek Mason. You know, I think, Coach, a good motivator for a lot of kids is in December when these teams they've played are all playing in bowl games and you're sitting your butt at home and you're like, I don't like this.
Right.
To me, that would motivate me to another degree because it all starts in the spring and carries over the summer and the fall.
Man, you got that right. And I can look at Parker Hughes, I can look at Nick Vadiato, I can look at DeMonte Smith, and those guys felt that.
Yeah.
They don't want to be a group whose legacy was they put up numbers.
Right.
Okay, not wins. Okay, and the ultimate prize is a championship, and we got to keep talking about it because I think if you don't talk about it, at the end of the day, man, you'll never get there.
That's right.
Dream small, okay, man. Dream small, man. You wind up having, you know, when small things happen to you. Dream big, big things happen to you. And so that's what we've been talking about. Our conversations in private are about, you know, what do we need to do to win the conference championship?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you can do that, well, then you put yourself in a lot of different places, right? I mean, what bowl game you're playing in, you know, what playoff opportunity will you may get. Seasons go the way they go, but in the landscape of college football with a new CFP, and by the way, Chris Massaro being on the selection committee,
there you go, right?
Which I think is part
get it,
which I think is pretty cool. Just having some insight into what can happen, like in the group of five, you got to shoot your shot, right? And we're going to shoot our shot, and we're not going to leave anything on the table. Man, we want to play hard, play physical, but more than anything else, we want to look towards December and be relevant. We want to look towards January and be relevant.
Yeah.
Because that's where relevance is nowadays.
That sure is. All right, so Chase and I talked about this a few weeks ago, and that's why we're glad you're on today. Your good friend, Coach Gundy at Oklahoma State, suggested a spring game taken on Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that, a spring game, you know, air quotes, where you take on Tennessee Chattanooga or Tennessee Tech if you're not playing them and they're not in your conference and everything like that? Your thoughts on that?
I'm all for it if we have spring ball. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if we have spring ball, I think that makes sense. You know, you see it in the NFL during the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a model that I think what schools were talking about it. I think it was Syracuse and somebody was talking about doing it. Syracuse and Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about doing it this year.
Oh wow.
Actually, and I think it's something where if those two coaches and those teams, you know, like, can agree on what the rules of engagement are.
Yeah.
I think it's smart. I think it gives you an opportunity to really gauge in the spring where your team is. I think where college football is going, just to be honest, spring games may be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
And here's what's happening. I think if you ask coaches, we much rather have the opportunity to have our team in the summer. I think we're going to move towards an OTA model at some point in time where,
oh, okay.
Really your team acquisition in the spring, okay, is more important. The development, okay, right. is more important. Building team culture is more important. Having your players in the summer for OTA-like practices sort of leads up to fall camp, which leads up to, you know, you being able to lead into the season, and that makes more sense. I mean, I know some coaches have talked about it. I'm one that's for it because I believe that right now we've got spring ball and then the portal opens right up after spring ball. You know, that's not necessarily, conducive.
Right, because your roster is going to continue to
change. Your roster can
change
a little bit, right? So I think OTAs in the summer makes a lot more sense because at that point in time you have your football team.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know what you're working with, and it does give you a chance to stay with your team, which you really don't get a chance to do in the summer.
So along those lines, let's say it kind of evolves into that.
Yeah.
We see the NFL do joint practices. Is that
right.
Where you could see, like, if, you know, you called Austin Peay or Vandy or whoever, you know, that's close by, you're not having to travel, you're not having to work, but it's like, hey, we want to hit somebody other than ourselves.
Yeah.
You don't touch quarterback, all that stuff, you can establish that. Could you see that being something? Because that's similar to, like, a training camp that we see in the NFL.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I think, again, coaches have to get together to talk about what the rules of engagement are. I think, you know, it winds up being thud or whiz, you know, for the most part. And then you can get into a goal line period or a red zone period where there's, you know, live contact. Because I think what you don't want to do is put your players in harm's way.
Sure.
What you're trying to do is gauge where you're at. Okay, versus another team, right? And I think there's ways to do it. We do it now without hurting ourselves, and I think that's a model that a lot of coaches are using and something that we can get to against competition that makes a lot of sense.
So take us to Saturday. What are we going to see Saturday when you guys – 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah, like 2 o'clock. We're going to have a showcase, and it's going to be a situational showcase where you get a chance to see some backed-up, man, two-minute red zone, alumni zone, just situational ball. And the thing that I do like about it, everybody loves a spring game. I like a spring game. But the things that get hard about spring games sometimes are scoring, right? how do you score a spring game to make it where, you know, fans understand it and can actually enjoy it? Well, with the showcase, it's not about scoring. It's going to be offense versus defense. And the good thing about that is in those situations, there are situations that you know, from our young quarterbacks to, you know, our newly revamped offensive line, defensive line, those guys need to be in those situations, right? And you want to do it in front of a crowd. And it's going to be competitive. We're going to start this thing off getting right after it. And then what we're going to have is next level football, which is, you know, Little League flag football, is going to be intermixed, okay, like in there. We're going to have fastest kid alive, which I think is outstanding. We're going to have a punk competition that looks a little bit like Pong. Where there's six trash cans and they're gonna attempt seven kicks into these trash cans for a winner. And then what we're gonna have is an accuracy contest for next level throwing into the net. So I think those 5 minute breaks, we're gonna have 3 5-minute breaks in between a lot of situational ball that I think will be entertaining for our fan base.
I like that. I mean, that's fun. You get people there. You're not watching, you know, the 11-on-11, all that, and it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. And we get after it. You know, we're going to do pregame, but once we're stretched, once we're going, we're going. We're not going to take, you know, an hour to get into it. Okay, man, we're going to hit it, get it, let's go, and let's have some fun.
We're going to have Nick Vadiato on here in a few minutes and talk to him. But, you know, as we talk about the landscape of college football, obviously he's had – opportunities. I'm sure if he wanted to go somewhere else, he could. He hasn't. He has stuck with this program, stuck with you now in year two.
Right.
What kind of message does that send to the rest of the team to see a guy that can step into that and be like, hey, I'm here. I'm a Blue Raider.
Well, I thought Nick staying here, it meant a lot to this program, meant a lot to me, but I think Nick felt like he had unfinished business.
Yeah.
Right? I think since he's been here, you know, everybody's talked about the talent, but now what we want is the winning.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the legacy he wants to leave here. As we step into a new facility with a lot of new things around it, I think the bow on it for him is being able to lead us into this new era of Blue Raider football. Not only that, as I've looked at Nick, right, I saw on Nick in Nick and Roman's empire, you know, they had a candid conversation and that everybody gets a chance to see with Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And I think Cam talked to him about some of the things. And you don't see the whole interview, man, but I thought Cam hit him with some nuggets about, like, the ball.
Yeah.
And how to keep it pure. And understanding it's not where you do it, it's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so real nowadays, because everybody thinks that, like, there's this utopia idea that you're searching for. The reality is, you know, where can you be your best? I think Nick feels he can be his best here, where, you know, he's got Love a coach, that. Man, who backs him. He feels like his offensive coordinator and the offensive line are poised to go do things that he wants to do. And I think bigger than that, man, he's got a love for being a Blue Raider. You know,
I love that.
Nowadays, man, that's so hard to find. He could have took a lot of money to go a lot of other places, right?
Sure.
And felt comfortable in just, you know, understanding, man, that this place fits him. So that's cool.
That's really good. Coach, before we let you go real quick, I know you coach a long time. You coach a lot of different people.
Yeah.
You coach with Titans OC Nick Holtz. How you with Stanford together.
Yeah.
What do you remember about him?
Man, Nick is smart, extremely intelligent. It's sort of crazy when I look at that Titans staff from Billy Callahan. I mean, I just look. I mean, Tracy Rocker. I mean, I'm looking back.
Yeah.
I'm looking back, and I'm like, hey, man, it's like a family reunion.
Yeah.
But Holtz is smart, extremely smart. I think he fits what they're trying to do and where they're looking to go. And I think with that, the Titans, this year is going to be different for the Titans, right, man? Because I think last year people didn't know. This year people are going to have some expectations, but I think what they're going to do is in the draft, but also with just understanding where they are, they're going to surprise some folks. They are. They're going to be good up front on the offensive line, and that's hard to do. But Billy Callahan is going to make that thing work.
Yeah.
He always does. And then when you talk about defensively, there's some pieces away, but, you know, in that league, talent's everywhere, and I think Nick's got a strong imagination. He understands how to build it. So, like, watch out this year. Watch out for Nick and watch what he does.
Love it.
Great communicator.
Yeah. And there's always a connection in football.
Always.
Yeah, I mean, always.
Always.
Coach, good to see you. Thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy the spring game. Enjoy some golf today.
Look, man, it's so beautiful out here. I mean, everybody told me today was going to be bad, and you know what?
Look at this.
Come on now. You know what it is?
Right.
You know what it is? That's the man upstairs telling, you know, everybody's got a job, go to your job, and everybody else who wants to come play, come play.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
So Coach, let's enjoy ourselves.
Good to see you. We'll talk again soon.
Take care. Let's go Blue.
Appreciate Absolutely. You, Coach.
You got it.
Coach Derek Mason joining us here on the program live in Rockville, Tennessee. Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game on this Thursday out at Rockville, Tennessee, having some fun on the golf course. Caller number three right now, 615-737-1025, will win a pair of tickets to see Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Saturday. All you got to do is be caller number three. You can go see Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall. Should be a great show coming up this Saturday at the Ryman. Good luck with that. We continue the conversation with MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato, who is here with us. Nick, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. It's a beautiful day for golf.
Great day.
How's
Great
your
day.
Golf game?
It's there.
It's there.
Yeah. It's something. It's okay.
A little better at quarterback than golf?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah. I hope so.
We're just talking to Coach Mason. How's spring practice been for you?
It's been fun. I think just a lot of new faces. So I think kind of getting those guys up to speed and building some new chemistry with the receivers, with some tight ends, and then, you know, got a lot of new O-line and guys on the O-line in front of me. So it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. Defense has given us a lot of competition throughout spring ball. So it's been a ton of fun, and, I mean, it's just kind of – we're getting better, which is all that matters right now.
We, you know, talked to him about this landscape of college football, college athletics. I mean, you guys as players have a lot more flexibility than you used to. You can transfer out if you want to. There's NIL. There's all these things. But
You've stayed committed to MTSU. You went through a coaching change, went through last year, now second year of Coach Mason. Why is this program so important to you, and why do you want to see this through?
You know, I think first when I, you know, I came here, Coach Stock gave me the opportunity to come, you know, see out my dream of playing college football. And then I think, you know, when Coach Mason came in, I've been bought into what he's kind of brought to this program and where he wants to take it since day one. And, you know, especially I think going into my last year, like it was important for me to, you know, kind of finish out what I've started. And I think that, you know, we have a lot of new faces coming in, and I could be a really important leader for this team and kind of show guys and bring guys along with me. And I think this program is on the up. I think Coach Mason's doing a lot of good things. I think the athletic department's behind us. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of good coming, and I think we just have to put in that effort and that work, and that's something that I want to do here at MTSU. And, you know, it means a lot to me, you know, starting coming here as a freshman and being able to see out all my entire career here. Like, you know, it's not really as common anymore. Like you said, a lot of guys transferring and whatnot. But, you know, I think it's really cool that I get to do it at one place. So I'm excited about it.
MTSU quarterback Nick Vettiato is with us. Chase and I are big fans of yours because, you know this, you've gotten the hell beat out of you the last 2 years. But you get back up. I mean, you've taken some shots, Nick. I'm like, oh, he's dead. Well, it's over with that. But that's all part of playing football, right? I mean, that's why we love the game, right?
It is. Yeah, it makes you feel alive sometimes. You know, there's probably one a game that really hurts in the moment. Right. You know, the rest of them you kind of feel after the game. But, you know, during the game, you know, it sucks. After a while, it sucks. But it kind of makes you feel alive sometimes, especially if you get, you know, you complete a nice ball and then you take a shot. Like, it makes it, you know, it's nice when you get back up knowing that the ball got completed down the field or it was a touchdown or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's a part of the game.
Yeah, I remember you took a shot against Alabama. You took one last against Ole Miss, and I thought it was over. But you popped back up. But, I mean, it's just, again, that's why we love the game of football. So, with all that being said, now into your senior year, I mean, this is it. This is the last rodeo. How important is it to corral everybody together and at least have a winning season get to a bowl?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's the last go-around, and I think a lot of fresh, a lot of new faces. You know, even up front with the O-line, I think those guys have done a really good job kind of just gelling together throughout the course of spring ball. I think they're playing at a really high level right now, and then, you know, we have a lot of good competition on the defense who are making those guys better. But I think, like you said, it's, you know, just trying to rally, get everyone on the same page. A lot of new faces. So it's, like, weird. It's kind of like last year we had a entirely new team from 23, and then this year we're going to have an entirely new team from 24. So I think it's just, like, you know, getting everyone on the same page, you know, me along with a few other guys like Brandon Buckner and Miles Butler being leaders for everyone on this team and kind of getting everyone going in the same direction is going to be important. But I think, you know, spring ball's been great. Everyone's getting better, so I'm really excited about it.
What's it like seeing guys you play with after the 23 team? There's some guys with the Georgia Tech and Tennessee and Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I know you're all buddies. What's it like seeing them go on to that next level and having that success? They were your teammates and your buddies.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, Jacoby Thomas, who's at Tennessee, we were freshman year. We were roommates together, me, him, and Parker and TK. We were all roommates freshman year. So to see him go on to Tennessee and do everything he's done is amazing. To see Keelan go on to Georgia Tech and be, like, all ACC, you know, freaking every offensive line on you can probably get and be just an absolute dog is just awesome to see. And now that, you know, Amari's gone on to Michigan State, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. You know, we were on the phone, you know, like a week ago just chopping it up, you know, because that's, you know, he was a teammate, but, you know, that's my brother too. So still wish him the best, and I know he's going to do his thing, but it's awesome, you know, to see those guys have on and you know, just continue to do great things is awesome.
It's funny. So when we were on campus a few months ago, seeing all the construction, it kind of reminded me when I was at Middle of, like, yeah, I got to watch the Student Union Center get built, and then I got it for a semester, and that, you know, that was it. These new facilities, you're not going to get to see it that long,
right?
But how cool is it to kind of pass that on to the next generation that they're going to have such a cool facility to work out in and to be in, you know, moving forward, because that's going to help bring, you know, guys to this program.
It definitely will. I think it's super cool. You know, like, I'll get to experience it for a season, which I think is awesome. And then, you know, our younger, like, guys like Roman and Ja'Kale, Middlebrook, you know, who are younger guys, but they'll get to have it for a little longer. And then, you know, like, even the guys who come in after them, like our freshman quarterback, Stanley Anderson, and you know, it's just guys who continue to come in after that. I think it's going to be a big thing for us, and it'll be awesome. You know, all those the new facilities and what it's going to do for us as a program, I think it's going to be great.
All right, so tell Chase and I about this Cam Newton interview, because evidently I saw it. It's wonderful. How this come about, and I, you know what? What you think about Cam Newton, I don't care. He's a good dude.
He was awesome.
And he gave you guys some great advice.
He was awesome. Like, I met Cam, like, back when I was, like, in middle school, down at his, like, quarterback thing he used to do at IMG. And, you know, like, you hear a lot of things about Cam Newton, like, a big personality. Talking to him was awesome. He was a great dude. Gave us a lot of good pointers, a lot of good advice. And he was just true to himself. And that was, like, a big thing that he talked about, was just be true to yourself. And, you know, how it came about really was our, like, head equipment guy, GM, guy who does a lot, Dana Marquez. He was at Auburn with him. He kind of set us up. He got the connection. And then Cam's also, like, Roman's, like, childhood hero, childhood idol. So Roman was on cloud nine that entire time. But just talking to Cam and everything he had to give to us was awesome. I mean, that was, like, how many guys get to experience that, you know, one-on-one with Cam Newton for 30 minutes to an hour? That was really awesome getting to talk to him.
Yeah, what's one thing that stuck in your mind that he told you? Because he dropped a lot of nuggets for you guys.
Yeah, I think when he talked about, like, building your brand and, like, kind of being who you are as a player, it's like whoever you are as a person, like, that's who you need to be, like, when it comes to being a player and building your brand. And that's, like, that's how you get to be, like, along with the hard work and the effort and the work ethic, like, being true to yourself is what will take you to that next level, and kind of always, you know, that will keep you who you are. Like, whoever you are as a person, be that as a player and help that build your brand. I think that was really good to hear from him.
Well, Nick, I know you got to go there. I think they're getting things started here. But good luck today, and good luck with spring ball. And
thank you so
we'll
much.
See you again soon. We always enjoy the conversations with you.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, Austin Peay, baby. That's still game one.
Can't wait. Week one. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
It'll be here before you know it.
Oh, the fact spring ball's already almost done is crazy.
I know.
So it'll be here.
For sure. Nick Vadiato, quarterback for the Blue Raiders of MTSU, joining us here on the program. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nick.
I know we got a few minutes to kind of wrap things up here in the first hour. Yeah, appreciate it. But, again, you know, it just gets me excited that we still got to get through summer. But,
yeah,
you know, the fall just not that far away, and they'll be hitting the field again against Austin Peay.
I think we appreciate college football so much because – it goes by so fast. It really is September, October, November, and then, of course, the bowls in December and all that. But we spent a lot of time in the off season getting ready and talking about it and everything else. And with the new faces, you know, he talked about the guys that have been here and gone on to the next level and having great success. So it's just fun, man. It's fun watching everything, seeing everything, how it comes together. And, God, I love football.
I know. Man, just so do I. I think what was interesting, what Coach Mason said about kind of – spring games essentially kind of going away, going in more OTA model, and you know, I think you're going to see that. I mean, joint practices, stuff like that. I mean, I think that could definitely be on the horizon.
Well, you talk about, you know, the spring game ends and the portal opens, so the guys you go through spring ball with, they're leaving, go someplace else. So get rid of the spring game, have those OTAs, get them on campus, because I don't think you can do work. I think the strength coach is the only person that can really do anything with the players during the summer till they report to camp. So they do something like that, it would be wonderful to have these guys in there. So there's a lot of changes coming.
That is why Floyd told me a long time ago, and I've heard you say it too, the strength coach is the most important person on your staff, because
no doubt
they have all the contact with the players pretty much at any time.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is then the coach can talk to the strength coach. But the strength coach, at least the one, you know, when I played at Samford, our strength coach was a guy you could go to and talk about things you wouldn't go to the head coach and talk with.
Right.
And, you know, you felt like he cared about you.
That
and that's
conduit.
Any program. Yeah. You know, Walt at Eastern Kentucky is like, getting a strength coach was just as important as my OC and my DC, because that's a guy dealing with the guys in the locker room, in the weight room, and they're going to tell him things they're not telling me. So that guy's got to be just as important as anybody else. You know, Saban had that guy for years, and I forget his name.
Scott Cochran.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. And he,
well, I need you lower.
He went to Georgia. He's had a few problems along the way. You know, I hope he's doing well, but it's vital, man.
Yeah, 100%. Well, again, we're at Champions Run here in Rockvale today, MTSU. Good to see Coach Mason, Nick Vadiato, everybody out here. Who's coming up next, JoJo?
Well, our good friend Jeff Murphy is the former MTSU quarterback, heading up the Raiders Rising. Go to the website, RaidersRising.com. He also owns the best Italian. Sorry, Nick, but I need to take you, Nick, to Domenico's and down on the square in Murfreesboro. You want to go one day?
Sure.
All right. I'm telling you, man. You love Italian food. I'm telling you, it's the best Reuben around. It's the sandwiches is good. But anyway, Jeff's going to join us next and talk about this, what the Raiders Rising, the collective, and benefiting men and women, student athletes at MTSU.
Absolutely. We look forward to that. Right now, text in the keyword music, M-U-S-I-C. Very simple, to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of all-inclusive Eurostone Club tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, October 2nd. Distilled by Green River Whiskey, sip back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Good luck. Text that in now. More coming in hour number two. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.